gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Masks Weekly Radio Show on Family Matters. Mask, mothers and fathers aligned, saving kids. Saving kids of all ages, all stages. We are a referral agency for the last 22 years. Over 50,000 families have reached out and attended our programs and received referrals from MASC. So if you need a referral for your family, your loved one, yourself, your spouse, please call MASC. You can call anonymously at 718-758-0400 from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Again, I will repeat the number. Maybe you want to write it down for yourself, a friend, a neighbor, or someone you sit next to and show. Our number again is 718-758-0400. Every week, I interview either a professional or a family member. Maybe it's a rehab, a director of a clinic. And tonight, we are interviewing here tonight a mom of an 8-year-old little boy. And I would like to welcome you tonight with us, Risey. How are you? Thank you for being on.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be able to join this.
Thank you for coming on, Risey. Risey, you know, it takes a lot of courage to be able to share one story, one journey on the air with everyone listening in. So, yashar koach. And if we even help one family tonight, that is a big success. So thank you, thank you.
My pleasure.
Risey, let's get right to it. Many years ago, you had an 8-year-old little boy that was struggling in school. And today, Baruch Hashem, he is 19 years old. But I want to talk about when it all began, the struggles, when he was 8. So can you share with us what happened one day that changed your lives, his life, that from 8 years old all the way until his teenage years, there was so much pain and struggle? I'd like you to share with my listeners, please.
Okay. I'll tell you. When my son was born, he was a character. He was the most lovable, most charming, good-looking, wonderful, amazing kid who we could not take our eyes off for one second because he always was up to something. And being the young parents that we are, that so many of us are, you know, in our low 20s, we had no idea, even though there were signs from the beginning, and every parent who has a child with some form of ADD or ADHD knows this to be true. That looking back, there are the signs and they are there. And inevitably, the problems begin in school. From the educators over the years that I've spoken to and the therapists, they begin around age 8 or 9 when school becomes a little more serious and demanding. So until then, he was definitely a handful in school. He functioned purely by memorization because he had a good memory and he's very smart. So he never actually applied himself. He just, by osmosis, he learned, and so he got away with it. And then when he was 8.5 years old, he got kicked out of school. They unceremoniously kicked him out of school. And Ruchama, I just want to say that in, you know, in the course of this radio program, if it comes across that I have disrespect for any sort of hanhala, yeshiva systems, rabbanim, therapist, that is untrue. I truly believe that people want to do good, and even if I didn't believe it then, it serves us as parents much better to believe it, to accept it, and to be on the positive side of things rather than the negative side of things.
I'm glad you said that. That's very helpful for those that will hear some of the things that may have happened through the years, that you've grown so much from this experience, that you understand the frustrations of teachers that need to teach a classroom. So that is very honest of you to share. Thank you.
Let me see. When he was 8 and a half, he got kicked out of school. It was a culmination of many years of them, you know, calling me and saying, he's a problem, he's drumming in class and he wouldn't stop making noise, or he is calling out, or he won't stand in line. And the principal told me numerous times I should have him evaluated. And when I tried to push him to the wall and say, evaluated for what? Why? He would say, well, when the school is being dismissed, he won't stand in line. And I'm thinking to myself, rolling my eyes on the other side of the phone, what does that mean? So I should put my kid on medication because you want your kids to stand in line straight? That didn't make sense to me. But I wasn't listening and I wasn't hearing, and I'm begging the parents out there, listen. Listen to the principals. They don't either have the right words to tell you exactly what they know. They can only tell you what they feel, and what they feel is something is wrong. And so they kicked him out. And he was home for a year because we didn't know where to go or who to call. And I even have in my family, my sister's a therapist, my brother-in-law is a big Askin in his community. They didn't either. I didn't know who to call. I called everyone. I called every organization that I could think of that I saw advertised. I wasn't, though, listening to what the organizations were saying, what they were promoting, who they were there for. It seemed like they were there for everybody else except this exact problem. So, which is why I feel it's so important that parents who are listening to this radio program know that MASC is for everyone at any age. If you have any questions, don't be afraid to call, and then let them tell you they can help you or they can help you. Just make the phone call. So he was home for a year because I'm sure all the parents know, once your kid is kicked out of one school, no other school wants him. It's as simple as that. And during that time, he went to therapy, which was highly unsuccessful because aside from saying that he had ADHD and putting him on medication, they did not help us as parents deal with him. It was just about him getting therapy about not being in school, which, frankly, he didn't know he needed therapy for. And so he wasn't at all interested in helping it along. He was perfectly happy not being in school. He didn't know. So we really would have needed that therapy. So he was home for a year. And finally, when we got him into a different school, they were amazing. They worked with him, but they were working with what they had, which is a little boy who's 9 years old, who's a troublemaker. And that was the extent of it. And we put him on medication, which basically meant that he didn't sleep and he didn't eat. And so after 2 years of this, he couldn't function anymore in the school system, and he got into bed. And from 12 and 13, he did not get out of bed. And when I mean did not get out of bed, I literally mean he did not get out of bed. And we pushed and we screamed. And, you know, now my son and I, he's 19 now. He is wonderful. He is amazing. He's my inspiration every day. And we laugh about some of the things that I did to try to get him out of bed. I would put on loud music and pour cold water on him. And looking back now, he wasn't sleeping. And so how could he get out of bed at 8 o'clock in the morning if he was up till 5:30 because his medication didn't allow him to sleep? Because we were doing this all on our own. And It took 2 years. And then I found a school. We went to look at different schools all over, schools that said we let the kids build stuff, and so it's not a regular school. My son needed a lot more help than building his own desk for school. He needed more help than that. And we tried everything. And I found this school in Florida, which was, his, looking back, was his saving grace. But then it was a tremendously scary thing for us, because the school was geared for children who have more money, more challenges than my son. Physical challenges, mental challenges. They weren't meant for kids with ADHD, but they took everybody who nobody else wanted, basically. And so we sent him there. And it was a tremendous, it was awful for us, because we knew we weren't sending him to the right place. But I thought to myself, this child is challenged. People do not lay in bed if they don't have issues. And so I need to deal with his issues and not be afraid of doing something that may be the wrong thing, or what are people going to think and what are people going to say. And I, inside me, I trusted myself as a mother, even though I was so young. And I sent him to a place where I thought that they could help him. And this is so important that I want your listeners to know. Even if you do the wrong thing, and I'm speaking to all the parents out there of the little kids, even if you do the wrong thing, if you love them, if you do it because you love them, it will be the right thing eventually. Nobody knows what to do. We weren't handed a manual when our kids were born and said, this is what you should do. It's very easy to raise good children. When you look at your neighbors and you say, how come my neighbor's kids are so normal and everybody's so normal in their house and seems like I can't get a handle on what's going on here? It's because you're the special one. It's because you're the unbelievable one. It's because you're the strong one. And it's because you know how to deal with your son. Your neighbor can only deal with her perfect children. That's how you should choose to look at it. And I believe it with all my heart and soul.
Rizzy, bringing up a child that has the challenges of ADHD is very challenging for parents. It's important that we need to remember these kids are not bad. Acting out, being difficult is on purpose. They're not. They're just, when they're diagnosed with ADHD, ADD, they have difficulty controlling their behavior. And without behavioral therapy and or, for some, medication, it is very hard to go through the school system, especially elementary school. You know, the teachers, like you said, they could tell young. The teachers
definitely
know that there's an issue. They may not be able to decide what the child should do or shouldn't do. That's why we have evaluations. And there are excellent evaluators out there that evaluate the kids and then will give the recommendations. There are many children that take tests in a principal's office. They cannot take a test in the regular classroom. There are
exactly.
kids that have different homework styles. There are so many different things that could contribute to help them, actually, once they're diagnosed. And, you know, to be diagnosed, you must have 6 out of 9 symptoms. And, you know, there's a whole list of different things that
exactly.
the evaluator goes through. I'm just wondering, I mean, your son was home in bed 2 years. What did that do to the rest of the family? I mean, do you have shalom bias? How did the siblings react to this? I'm sure it rattled your whole home, you know, the whole family. I'm wondering if you'd like to share.
Of course. Well, he's my third child. He has 2 sisters on top of him, a little brother, and then another little sister. And I must tell you, now that everybody's older, it's 10 years later, and everybody tells me now that, yes, they feel like they didn't get enough attention because we were so busy with him. And I hug them now, and I say, probably. I'm sorry. He needed us then. What could I tell you? We tried our best. That's it. We tried our best. We tried our best with him. We tried to keep our home happy. My children did not know the exact reason ever why he was kicked out of school, because I didn't want him to have the stigma that they anybody else but us should know. But we make our home happy. This is something that I tell parents all the time, parents who call me. Imagine being 8 years old, and imagine coming home every day and seeing your mother's face and knowing secretly somewhere inside your eight-year-old heart that she wishes that you would be something else, that she wishes you would be somebody else, a different kid, because somehow you could never make her happy. Imagine the burden this puts on an eight-year-old. If a parent, a mother, will tuck her eight-year-old son, who is such a problem, every night into bed, and say the words to him, "I love you, I love who you are, and I never would want you to be anybody else but you," even if you don't mean it, say it to him, because eventually, after everything he goes through, after all the struggles you'll have together, he'll remember these words clearly, with strength. My son tells it to me today. He's 19. He's amazing, but he tells it to me today. "Mommy, I never, ever doubted that you loved me and that you were on my side." And looking at my son now in yeshiva, I guarantee you it's because of that. You need to love them. Parents need to be an advocate for their children. Okay, going back to what you said, I'm sorry, I got distracted. My husband and I, it was very difficult. We blamed each other, of course. He blamed me because, you know, I'm slightly ADD myself. And I blamed him because he's so organized and super straight, and I thought he didn't understand my son. And we blamed each other because it's the easiest thing to do. And that's okay. It's okay. Because when I was furious and angry and crying, he propped me up and he said, "We have to just keep going and keep doing this and we will work it out and you're an amazing mother." And then when he couldn't take my son to shul because he was embarrassed because of the way he looked, because of how he behaved, then there was my turn to be his Eishes Chayil, for real. And no matter how hard it was, you need to help each other and accept how hard it's going to be. Accept that, yes, this is creating problems. It's okay. The goal is not today, the goal is tomorrow. Look till tomorrow. If today wasn't a good day, if today you and your husband fought, if today you said something nasty to him that you wish you could take back, apologize and wake up again tomorrow and do it all over again and make it better. It's okay. Nobody told us how to do this. You're going to figure it out, and with organizations like MASC and other people who can help you, who are out there. It's so easy when you're in this situation to just cut yourself off from everybody because you're embarrassed, because you're ashamed, because your child is doing and saying embarrassing things. Don't. Open yourself up. Be proud. Because your child is amazing and you are amazing.
Risey, how is your son today in reference to his ADD?
Well, I could tell you, all the years that we were stuffing medication into his mouth, when he finally left the house to go to yeshiva in Florida, we found under the tree right outside his window a little pile of about 150 pills. By the way, that cost, I think, somewhere between $6 and $12 a pill, depending on whether the insurance would pay for this specific one or not. And we tried them all because none of them worked. They gave him terrible side effects. A little pile of pills outside his window because he spit them out as soon as we gave it to him because he couldn't take how he made them feel. It was a process, and we tried everything. And today, because he felt so strongly how much we were on his side, he somehow gathered the strength 2 years ago to tell us, "I want to go to Eretz Yisrael for yeshiva." And let me tell you, sending a kid like this at risk at this point, and I have to say this point, don't forget, an 8-year-old becomes a 15-year-old. And if you don't get him help at eight because you think you're managing and you think you could just, like, slide him under the radar by medicating him, he'll become a 15-year-old at risk, and your problems are exponentially greater. So take care of it when he's little. I'm saying he because my son is male, obviously, but girls as well. Take care of it when they are little because they will come big, and bigger kids mean bigger problems. And he told us he wants to go to Israel, and to send a kid like this to Israel, I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't anything. But you know what? I knew he was going to end up on the street anyway. So I needed to try whatever I could. And I trusted him, I sent him, and it was the most unbelievable thing. My son is 19, and my husband went to visit him this past Tu B'Shvat, and my husband called me crying. He said, "Izzy, for the first time in my life, I learned with my son."
Beautiful.
He learned with him. And it was all my son. It wasn't even us at the end. We couldn't even help him. He helped himself. But I believe that our strength, our love, that's what it was. And he's doing amazing. He's the most wonderful, amazing kid who's going to help a million people in his life, because he wants to. He's learning. He's in yeshiva. He keeps Shabbos. He's going to have, I can even imagine him married with a family. To all you parents out there with nine-year-olds like this, I know it's not something that you could ever imagine. It's going to happen. And he's going to have a job, and he's going to be amazing, because he's amazing right now.
He also has parents that have really worked hard and advocated for him. I mean, I know you homeschooled him for a very long period of time, and that is not an easy undertaking, having to homeschool a child. So,
I'm just going to interrupt you and say, don't make me sound like I homeschooled him like those wonderful parents. Homeschooling basically meant keeping him home instead of school and giving him something to learn. It wasn't like I knew what I was doing. It's so important that parents don't feel nobody knows what they're doing. That's why you must reach out. Reach out. Because nobody knows what they're doing, and they just know that their day today is crazy. Maybe tomorrow will be better. It won't. Tomorrow will not be better. He needs help. You need help. Most importantly, you need help. Because ADD or ADHD is not something that is wrong with your kid. Nothing is wrong with children who have ADHD. They are just different, like brown eyes and blue eyes.
They're wired.
Exactly. Exactly. And because there is this stigma that there's, I spoke to many mechanchem, and they tell me that there's 20% in any grade of kids like this. 20%. 20% is a real number. And we need to advocate for our kids and stand up for them and say, you cannot just look away at our children. They don't have to change. Something needs to change, and that's its own time, and hopefully we'll be able to do this together. But there's nothing wrong with him. I don't want parents, there's nothing wrong with your child. I don't want parents to think there's something wrong that we need to fix what's wrong. No. No. He needs you to advocate for him, to stand up for him, to not be afraid, because the schools need to deal with our children like they deal with all the other children.
Absolutely. And ADT and ADHD, I mean, it's genetic is involved.
100%.
Right. So, you know, maybe there's another family member, a mother-in-law, a sister-in-law, your husband. And many times children, you know, it's genetics. And we all have to remember another thing, and that is sometimes there are learning disabilities in children.
100%.
And at a young age, they're fidgety, they're not, you know, focusing in class, and they're told that they're ADD or ADHD. And once you go for a good evaluation, 100%. They're able to figure out whether or not it looks like ADD or it's a learning disability. but then they can decide the best route to take. You cannot just say, oh, they're ADHD, and medicate them.
Exactly.
You must have an evaluation to rule out bipolar disorder, learning disabilities, anxiety, depression, whatever else may be possibly underlying issues, and as a result, they could be not focused.
And I just want to add one thing.
Yes.
I just want to add one thing. I spoke to a wonderful evaluator. He is unbelievable. He was once featured in the Mishpacha magazine. He is really an unbelievable person and an educator. And he told me if he can get the children at 8, 9 years old, then ADD or ADHD just remains that, something that is manageable.
Correct.
Because if they could function at a regular school and they could marry regular people and they can go to regular yeshivas, but it's when it's left unchecked or if they're medicated from their pediatrician without behavioral therapy and therapists for the parents and, you know, more help that they may need, that's where we get to where we are today with there's so many kids at risk. And don't fool yourself. Your kid is 9 now. If you don't get him the help he needs, if you don't find the strength within you, he's going to become 15, 16, 17, and your heart will be broken.
Risey, time always goes so quick when I do this radio show, and I want to thank you for sharing, for having the courage to come on and be so honest and open about the struggles that you went through with your son. I do want to wish you best of luck. He should have continued success in everything he does, and you should have continued nachas from him
and
your other children.
And I just want to say thank you to Mask, because you couldn't help me because I didn't know you were out there. But now that I do, please call. Please call, and thank you so much from all of us parents, those who know and those who don't, for everything that you do, for all the help that you give, because there's no feeling that is alone as not knowing how to help your child.
And thank you, and Mask. We have mentors for parents, so if anybody wants a mentor or wants to speak with Risey, please call the Mask helpline at 718-758-0400. And I want to wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos, a beautiful Yontif, and remember, always, hang in, hold on, hug tight. Thank you.
Thank you.
And have a good night.
Presenting three great young cantors, Yaakov Lammer, Azi Schwartz, and Netanel Herstik, in concert, music of memory and joy, the New York Cantors.
The National Yiddish Theater Volksbühne presents the New York Cantors, Yanky Lemmer, Azi Schwartz, Netanel Herstig, in a free outdoor concert on Wednesday night, June 12th at 7 p.m. at Summer Stage in Central Park, entrance on East 72nd and 5th Avenue, with special guest stars Shulam Lemmer and Frank London. Orchestra conducted by Zalman Malutik, Artistic Director of the Volksbühne, guest conductor Andrew Kurtz, Gulf Cove Symphony, and Master of Ceremonies, Rabbi Joseph Potasnik of the New York Board of Rabbi. All takes place Wednesday, June 12th at 7 p.m. Rain or shine, Summer Stage in Central Park. Enters at East 72nd and 5th Avenue. It's a free outdoor concert. Seating on a first-come, first-served basis. Enjoy.
Consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.